You're listening to The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Hello, comrades, and hail victory. I get to say that today because yesterday and into this morning was a victory for nationalism against globalism, something we've been talking about, that once again, this is Brexit round two of the election of Donald Trump, to be able to prove that the white working class, when we turn out, our voices are powerful. When we vote together and stand together, we can oppose the anti-white Democratic Party. We can oppose the globalist agenda within the Republican establishment. And we vote not on party lines, but in interest for our people. So I want to start. I know I usually end with a hail victory, but I'm going to start with a hail victory. And I'm joined today by Sven Longshanks. And Sven, how are things going over in your neck of the woods? What's your what are your thoughts about what's going on?
Well, my first thoughts are the same as yours, Matt. Hail victory. This is just amazing to see. Really amazing to see that white people have pulled together at last in America. They've sort of woken up to what's being done to them. They've all got behind Donald Trump, despite all the attacks that have been thrown against him, despite the polls. Some of these polls were saying that Hillary Clinton was going to win by 90%. You know, so this shows that the white people can get together. And they can. We still have that power. We can still wake up and do what's best for our interests. And on the other side of the coin, it's shown us that the Jewish media is no longer all powerful. I mean, 90% of the media coverage of Donald Trump was negative. It was all negative. 90% of it. And yet, despite that, he still managed to get elected. And of course, besides all of that, we managed to piggyback along on the back of the campaign and get our message out to so many different people. I mean, the alt-right just exploded. I'm getting mentioned by Hillary Clinton. The amount of hits that caused on our websites, the amount of people that must have red-pilled, the amount of people now that are aware of the Jewish role that's being played in all of this and the Jewish role in globalism is just phenomenal this year. And of course, that means we're now going to have peace with Russia. There's going to be a wall put up on your border between you and the mestizos. It's all just amazing. I mean, last night, to be honest, it felt like Christmas Eve to me, Matt. I was certain that he was going to win, and it really did feel like Christmas Eve. It was just this anticipation. And I got up today, and I've been watching it all on the news, looking at the faces of the Hillary Clinton supporters. I mean, look at the state of them for a start. Most of them were half-caste, fat feminists, booing their eyes out, bawling their eyes out in tears. They're all in this big hall that apparently they'd been dancing around in, so certain that they were going to win. A big glass ceiling that this place had, because Hillary Clinton was hoping to symbolise shattering the glass ceiling. And she didn't even make an appearance. She couldn't even face her supporters, which I think just shows the contempt that she has for the people that were supporting her. You know, the impression I got from that is that she blamed them for her losing and was angry at her own supporters. So they didn't even get to see her. They just left in tears, basically. It's just absolutely amazing. It's better than ever I thought it could be. And it was really good that everyone just pulled together and did everything that we could to get Trump to win. Even though we know he's not a white nationalist, we know he doesn't agree with all of our policies, but the fact that some of them he is saying, and he is on that same spectrum that we are, that is the amazing thing, Matt. And I think this is going to be a turning point in history. This is a turning point for politics, because we're now going to see the politicians in Europe are going to have to go along with the American turn in politics, which means that we are going to see our politicians either moving to the right or we're going to see the nationalist parties winning. Geert Wilders has already congratulated him. Marine Le Pen has already congratulated him. They were some of the first to congratulate him. Don't forget, these are parties that are described as far right by our press. And they are the ones that are going to be in his good books. I'll pass it over to you before I say any more, but I've got lots more to talk about, I think.
Oh, I mean, it's such an exciting thing. I mean, to be able to see that the media told us, and, you know, on the show yesterday, talking with Dr. Johnson. I wanted everyone to be prepared. I was hopeful. You know, I was preparing, and from everything I saw on the ground, everything I know just from people involved in our party who live in places like Appalachia and here in the Rust Belt, I knew there was going to be increased white turnout. The white working class was going to be turning out in record numbers, but I didn't know how much, and it really was going to be coming down to margins. So I wanted everyone to be prepared that no matter what happened last night slash this morning, that we're going to be carrying on and we're going to be successful. But we were vindicated. We were vindicated on our positions that the average person supports nationalism, not globalism. The average person wants secure borders. The average person doesn't want demographic displacement. The average person doesn't like Wall Street. The average person doesn't trust the lying press. They want to go to alternative media sites. They want to see the truth. They know that the media are liars. They understand that no matter what terms you throw at someone, whether it's racist or xenophobe or fascist, that what they care about is a politician and then a movement, because this is actually bigger than Donald Trump. And we all know that. This is so exciting to me, not just because of Trump, but because it shows us how many of our people agree with so many of our principles, and they have the ability to get organized. They have the ability to speak up. They won't just silently keep to themselves with these ideas. They're willing to get out in the streets and go to rallies in the tens of thousands. They're willing to get out the vote by the millions. This is such an exciting thing. It should be a shot in the arm to every single white nationalist in America and in Europe and nationalists around the world to be able to see that when people are just given the choice, when you can just go ahead and say, do you want nationalism or do you want globalism? The people will cheer and stomp their feet and march and vote for nationalism. This is what people want. They do not want the neoliberal agenda. They do not want the neoconservative agenda. They do not want globalism. They want nationalism. So this is the beginning of a new era of white nationalism, I think, in America, where we can lead forward. Because, of course, the Republican Party cucks that have been embarrassed and shamed, that thought they were going to be able to stop Trump. Trump has done a takeover of the Republican Party. We need to be here to be able to push these ideas in the GOP, but also outside of the GOP, especially punishing Republicans that are weak on immigration, weak on trade, that aren't supportive of things like the border wall or peace with Russia. And we need to be here then to be advocating on the local and state level where we can outcompete, because especially on the state level, there's a lot of Republican infrastructure that is supported by the Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce is pro-immigration. They're pro-open borders. They're pro-NAFTA. They're pro-free trade. So especially on the local and state level, we now have a mandate in many ways, I see, within our communities to be able to now be the voices of nationalism for our people. So that's things like the Nationalist Front and the Traditionalist Worker Party. Moving forward, we have a lot of work to do for 2017, but it's showing that our people, when they can hear what our message really is, they don't hear the lying, you know, Jewish press. When they actually hear what we're fighting for them and their children, they support our position. So I could not be more excited. And of course, happening this morning in Northern California, protesters were in the streets chanting, "Not my president, not my president," wearing masks, anti-fascist, setting fire to cars, other vehicles, breaking windows. One of them got hit by a car, and all sorts of good stuff. But we see that the left is angry, as you said, losing their minds. And we now as nationalists have a mandate to redefine politics in America, politics in Europe. The future we talk about, the future is on our side, that our victory is guaranteed. But sometimes, you know, it's a hard struggle. It's a long struggle. But this shows that people, our families want nationalism. So I'll turn it back to you, Sven, for more of your insight. But I just couldn't be happier.
Well, I think what's happened is he's become a focal point, as you say, for this movement. And as you were talking about yesterday, politics has become racial. I was talking to somebody who's just been on a 3-week road trip, and they said that they never saw any Hillary Clinton signs, and all the Trump signs were on a real variety of different organizations. A lot of them were liberal, some were on the left, some were on the right. But the one thing that united all these organizations was that they were majority white. So this is showing us that the right and the left are falling apart and things are becoming polarized along racial lines. And as you're saying now, you've now got these lefties that are starting to riot. Now, I would make a fair bet that the majority of them were non-white. And the more we see of this, the more we are going to see white people banding together and going for the sort of policies that Donald Trump is putting across, because they're not all capitalist policies, you know. As you say, the capitalists want open borders. He's against that. And he's all for providing jobs for the people, which is, you know, that's the proper socialist policy, really, is make sure that everybody has a job so that they've all got an income. I noticed the first thing that he started talking about in his acceptance speech was that he was going to go ahead with a big infrastructure project. Obviously, he's going to be building the wall, but he wants to improve the infrastructure. Now, this is exactly what Adolf Hitler did in the 30s. He went on a big infrastructure building project, got everybody building roads, and that got everybody back out to work again. So he's already making noises about doing these projects, which are like the National Socialist ones. And one of the things that I've been looking at today is the way that the leaders of the European countries have reacted to this. Theresa May has spoken to him and said, well, we share values of freedom, democracy, and what else was it? I can't even read my own writing, but she said that she didn't actually mention diversity or anything like that. But then when Angela Merkel spoke to him, she laid down all these conditions for working with him, said that he would have to promote diversity, he'd have to promote homosexuals, he'd have to promote blacks before she would work with him. And I just thought, yeah, you know, you can't be saying this, Mrs. Merkel, because Germany is still an occupied country, occupied under the Allies. The head of the Allies was America, and the head of America now is Donald Trump. So he could really seriously affect that policy in Germany, which has been destroying Germany with immigration. And, you know, I can't wait until he discovers that and realizes that he has so much power in Germany that he didn't realize he had before, because he could really affect that immigration problem that they've got there. And I think Merkel knew that, because the look on her face, you know, she looked worried. That was another thing that was really good to see. But I know, Matt, you had some exciting times last night. Didn't you have a reporter with you that was observing how things went? Was that right?
Yes, we were having a party, watch party, a viewing party, where we all came together for fellowship and, you know, good food, some home-cooked meals, and, of course, local brewed beer. We tried to keep it local. We're all about local solutions to the globalist problem. So we have to thank one of our local Indiana breweries for helping us with our shindig last night. But the reporter was actually from Norway. And it was a very interesting thing. You know, the night started out with all the polls, everyone saying that that Donald Trump is going to lose. And, you know, he was actually good natured. He wasn't mean about it. But, you know, there was that kind of smug look on his face as tallies were starting to come in, and I could watch the faces of not only myself, but my party comrades and him absolutely do a 180 when the vote tallies start coming in, and states that weren't supposed to be in play became in play, and it was because of the white working class. So it was an amazing thing to be able to see. And of course, we absolutely ran him over the coals in a good-natured way, and we always try and keep things friendly here, but about Norway and their leftist policies and things like that, about how there's a new sheriff in town and politics is changing, and as you said, Sven, what happens in America is going to affect the rest of the world, and this is a really exciting thing to be able to see. So he was a good-natured sport about it, but had to concede, you know, halfway through the night that it was probably game over, and he decided to retire to his local hotel he was staying at as we continued the celebrations early into the morning. I'm just glad to be here. I thank my wife for making coffee and a good breakfast for me to help me wake up so I could be here with everyone today. But it was a great night to be able to be here with a house full of comrades to celebrate and to watch this and to see us vindicated, that the silent majority, which is the white working and middle class, vindicated, that our policies of nationalism became popular. So even in the eyes of some of a socialist journalist from Norway, had to admit that this was because of the white working class. It's because Republicans and Democrats have abandoned the white working class, and Donald Trump has redefined American politics. So it was an exciting thing to be able to get his insight and see and have him agree fundamentally that our people haven't been represented for a very long time. Donald Trump is talking in ways to be able to represent us better than any candidate for decades. So it's very exciting. And as you mentioned, with the infrastructure project, everyone thinks the Democrats are all about infrastructure, but Donald Trump's plan actually for infrastructure investment is twice as large as Hillary Clinton's. So we're talking about possibly millions of jobs being created in this country, taking the unemployed, getting them to work. And you know what? If we're rebuilding bridges, that means we're going to need steel. We're going to need to power the power plants. We're going to need coal. We're going to need skilled tradesmen. If we're rebuilding buildings and schools and hospitals, we're going to need electricians. We're going to need plumbers. We're going to need carpenters, which means we need loggers being able to log, and then people working at mills to turn the logs into wood that that's usable for construction projects. This has the potential with this investment to revolutionize the American working class economy in the Rust Belt and in Appalachia and in the American West, of getting our people back to work to rebuild our nation. It's not getting us back to work to work some service job. It's not getting us back to work for the globalist agenda. It's getting us to work, if Donald Trump's plan is able to be brought forward, to be able to work to rebuild this country from the ground up for the sake of ourselves and our children. So this is a very exciting thing to be able to see, that his plans, as you mentioned, very similar to what happened with the National Socialists, and if it goes forward, has the potential to revitalize huge sections of the American economy that have faltered and taken huge hits over recent decades. So, you know, I hate to keep saying it and coming back to it, but I just couldn't be happier.
Yeah, I bet. Well, it's not just you that's happy. It's all nationalists everywhere are so pleased for you and pleased for America that this has happened. I mean, this gives a chance for people to see what nationalist policies are like. And I'm certain that once they see the improvement that Trump brings, that you're going to see more nationalist policies in the future. That's what I mean by this is like a turning point in history, because he hasn't just won the presidency. I mean, the Republicans have got everything, basically, haven't they? And he's got a chance to put in Supreme Court judges. So he will be able to make these changes. People will see the improvements from those changes, and then politicians in the future will have to measure up to what he does. And we can already see that the Republican Party is starting to get behind him, because they never had a chance of getting in before. Now, they were losing. They were certain that they were just going to be the opposition party forever. And now he's got in there with a change in politics, aiming it at nationalism, basing all the politics around what is good for America, making Make America Great Again his campaign slogan. And now that he's actually brought them into office again, I think you're going to see a lot of them are going to be supporting him, because they can see that that's what's good for the party. I mean, talking of campaign slogans, I mean, Hillary Clinton's one, Stronger Together. I mean, that sounds like a toilet paper commercial. It doesn't sound like a campaign, does it? It's dreadful. I couldn't believe it when I saw that. And the one before that, I'm With Her. I mean, just absolutely awful. And then you think, Make America Great Again. Who can argue with that? And of course, the people that did argue against it were basically saying, I don't want to see America great. I want to see America brought down low. So of course, nobody is going to want to vote for anyone like that. This campaign has really exposed the underbelly of the Jew, basically, to everyone to see, and the media, and how corrupt and just filthy they are. I mean, this campaign of Hillary Clinton's against Donald Trump has been absolutely filthy and vile. The things that she's dug up and said about him, with these women, digging up all these women, making these allegations. She's so corrupt. And yet there she is giving her speech today, saying how proud she is of her noble campaign. It's absolutely disgusting. I think Hillary Clinton is now finished after this, thankfully. Do you think we're ever going to hear from her again, Matt?
I think we're going to hear from Hillary Clinton kind of like, you know, a case of herpes that will go away, but I think it'll flare back up. and she is absolutely as dreadful as any STD you could ever contract. Yeah, and, you know, the thing with Hillary Clinton is she is just absolutely such a part of the system, such a part of the regime. You know, that is something that she is not going to go away until she dies. But, you know, you think about an omen from God, you know, that we should have seen this victory coming. Janet Reno dying, you know, the butcher of Waco, the butcher of Ruby Ridge, dying. And, you know, of course, the quote floated around that she said that Donald Trump would not become president in her lifetime. And that was the Lord's truth on that one. You know, so to see from the Clinton era that you had the butcher of children, the butcher of innocent men and women, you know, who absolutely was the epitome of the state, this evil Zionist and Jewish controlled state upon average everyday Americans, passing away the day before the election. Hillary Clinton pushed out. She is never going to be able to run for president again, which is very, very exciting. Which means I think the Democratic Party likely will go in a more Bernie Sanders direction, or Elizabeth Warren, which will change things away from a neoliberal perspective. Now, I'll still disagree with them wholeheartedly on their position on things like immigration, but getting away from being capitalist lapdogs and being war hawks for the interests of the global elites, this has the potential not just to revolutionize politics on the right, but revolutionize politics on the left away from the status quo, because average Democrats hated Hillary Clinton. They didn't want to get involved in a war. They don't like her policies. They don't like her making millions and millions of dollars from regimes around the world that disagree with fundamental progressive values. They didn't like her taking money from these banks and saying you have to have a public face and a private view on everything. So I think that this actually has, when it comes to breaking down the status quo, because the status quo between neoliberal and neoconservative is bad for everybody around the entire world. This has the potential, I think, to push the Democrats in a more Bernie Sanders direction, which will focus more at home. Again, I'm not going to agree with their social issues or positions on immigration, but focus more on being against Wall Street and against the banks, because they've now been repudiated. The idea of Hillary Clinton as an establishment hack who works for the banks, who, you know, if she was a NASCAR driver, she'd be covered in endorsement patches from every major bank, every globalist outpost. I think this has the potential to change the Democrats in a positive way as well. So I think American politics, this really is the beginning of a new era on both sides of the aisle.
Well, I think a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters are now actually supporting Donald Trump. That's according to the BBC News earlier. They said that they were interviewing them and they said, well, we were originally supporting Bernie Sanders. And then when we saw what Hillary Clinton did to him, we switched our allegiance to Donald Trump. Now, this is what I mean by the politics changing. It's becoming racial. It's about looking after the American people, and maybe not so much racial, but national, looking out for America's interests. And I think that's what you might see the Democrats moving towards, is look at who is going to be most looking after the American people. Which party is it that's going to be doing that? And this is what we're seeing over here in Britain now. This is why we voted for Brexit. This is why we voted to leave the European Union, because we wanted to be governing our own affairs, controlling our own borders and doing what is best for the British people. And obviously there is an ethnic component to that. I mean, if you fill America full of other races, then you're not going to have the original Americans there that built it. If you fill Britain filled with these other races, then it's not going to be the British people that originally built the place and colonized the place. Now, so this is why it's implicit when you have people saying we're going to stand up for America or we want to stand up for Britain, the ethnicity is implicit in that of the people that were originally there. And sooner or later, the people that are supporting the campaigns are going to realize this and think about this and think, well, what does it mean to be British? What does it mean to be American? And then they're going to realize that it means to be part of the white race. I think this came into Donald Trump's campaign as well, where he was referring to Western civilization, our civilization. I mean, he wasn't talking about Afghans there. He wasn't talking about Chinese there. He was talking about white people when he said our civilization, Western civilization. And it's very important that we realize that especially in Europe, where we have the different nationalities of the different nations, that we remember that we're part of this race. We're part of the white race, and we need to support every part of it, because we're under attack everywhere throughout the world. That's why it's so important today that Donald Trump, who has spoken about some of these things at the far end of the spectrum to us, but he's still spoken about these things, and things are now going to move in a better direction for us. It's something that I never dreamt possible, to be honest, Matt. I never dreamt that we would get a president that was anywhere near our spectrum, let alone saying the things that he has done. I mean, that really does give hope that we could have more of this sort of thing happening in Europe. We know we've got Norbert Hofer, his election in Austria is in December, and we've got Marine Le Pen in February. So if people are, the rest of Europe are supportive of Donald Trump, he's shown that this is possible. It's entirely possible that we could end up with more right-wing parties taking power in Europe. You know, this is the thing that I'm hoping for, Matt. I'm hoping that it encourages a change and a shift in the political direction of Europe, and also over there in America with your Democrats. You know, I know we can't just turn things around instantly, but he is going to push things in the right direction. Where we got to today, it was all in incremental steps, small little steps. So it will take small little steps to get us away from that. We can't just suddenly change everything. So, you know, what we'll have to do is look at where we are in 4 years' time. I mean, just in a year's time, there should be a massive change in America, I expect. If you look at the changes that occurred in National Socialist Germany, just within a year, there was a fantastic change. And I predict that in a year in America, you will already have had big changes. You'll have a lot more jobs, you'll have a lot more people working, you'll have a lot less people in the prisons because all the non-whites will have been deported. And the wall could possibly be finished in a year. I mean, if you get everybody working on it, you know, it's not going to take too long to do, is it?
Well, you know, it's going to be hard work. And, you know, as you're talking about how this can change things in Europe, it's so interesting that, of course, in the UK, Nigel Farage was called a loony. He was called a crackpot. He was called a far-right extremist by the BBC and other media outlets. And, of course, he led the charge with Brexit and was able to pass. And him being over here speaking at multiple Trump rallies is such an interesting thing to me, to be able to see that why, you know, who would have thought an American presidential candidate would be bringing over a leader of a foreign political party, but who's a member of the Anglosphere, to talk about our shared struggle of nationalism versus globalism. You want to talk about being able to bring things together and really redefining them. Donald Trump has already done that by bringing over European nationalists that are maligned and attacked in their countries by the press, but the people support in things like Brexit. So he has already defined things. The game is already changing. And we are the ones who are here to be able to guide this change, to be able to guide this awakening and this awareness into real policy positions. And of course, we do need to remember, we need to hold Trump's feet to the fire on this, that but especially the Republicans. I don't think he's going to be the problem, but the Republican Party is going to drag its feet. They always do. They always serve the elites. And Donald Trump can do a lot, but it needs to be our job in the coming days, weeks, months, and years to the promises of a secure border, the promises of peace, the promises of reinvestment in our nation. We need to hold the politicians accountable. So Operation No Survivors, you know, that Daily Stormer did to get off the vote, can't end just with the election. We have to keep these politicians accountable, keep this movement going, and keep the momentum going. And we've got a great outro for today. So, Sven, go ahead and give me your final thought for the day before we leave folks on a triumphant note.
Well, I would like to see Nigel Farage as an advisor, and I think this might well happen. I think Donald Trump might request that Nigel Farage is an advisor to him in some way. I know he's not an American citizen, but he could be an advisor. So that's my tip for what will happen in the next couple of weeks. But apart from that, only thing I really have to say is hail victory. Once again, it is victory day today, so hail victory, Matt.
Well, I absolutely love it. You're 100% right, Sven. This is a day of victory. This is a day of celebration. And again, the work isn't over. It is just beginning. We need to always remind ourselves of that. But take today, comrades, you did an amazing job through the meme war, through the Twitter war, through getting out there, getting your folks to vote, creating propaganda, creating podcasts, creating memes, creating everything to be able to influence this election. We did this. And we did this because we care about our people, we're organizing our people, and we're winning. So we've got some momentum. So to close us out for the day, I just want to go ahead and introduce you, ladies and gentlemen, again, hail victory, but I want to introduce you to the next president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the next president of the United States, Mr. Donald Trump.